Well, good morning, church family. Today is the 26th of April, and this is the Sunday morning podcast of Communion Fellowship Church. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jonathan Landell. Today, I'd like to begin with a reading from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 1. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Now, during this quarantine time, as the season of quarantine time draws to a close, it would be good for us to take a moment to look back on the last number of weeks, month or so, and to think about how God has blessed our church during this time. Our fellowship as Christians at the Lord's Supper has been taken away from us for a while, and that has highlighted the spiritual connection that we have through Christ's body. We are joined to him. We are individually members of one another, as Paul says in Romans chapter 12. So Christ is the vine. He is the part that joins all the believers together, whatever language they speak. However far apart we are, Christians on various continents, we are all the branches. So even while we've had that communion table taken away from us, take a moment to think about how we have been sustained during this time. Though it's been unusual, how God has been blessing our efforts to grow and to love each other during a different kind of a season. Now, I've been hearing how families that don't have to be at soccer practice are finally having family worship together, which is so good. Husbands are getting back to leading their wives in prayer, reading the word together. The ladies of our church have been keeping up with their Bible study. They've been going to an online platform instead. People have been praying together regularly on the phone Sunday mornings. Dads are maybe sitting everyone down to read scriptures in the evening. These are all the things that we should have been doing anyway, perhaps, but they've been falling off our radar, maybe. They've been things which we haven't taken the time, made the time, to make into a practice and a habit. So this week, as we think about the season of quarantine coming to an end, we should stop and think, what are some good changes in our personal routine or our family's routine? How has God blessed your rest from busyness during quarantine? And busyness is a good thing if it's busyness about our calling, the thing that Jesus is calling you to as a man, as a woman, as a child, whatever your place is in Christ's church. So what new habits maybe does the Lord want you to extend into the future? What's a priority which was not a priority before? It's a time of clarification that we've had. If you're a husband and you found that now you've had enough time to read the scriptures and to pray over your wife, how can you continue that habit? If you're a dad and you finally got that family together in one place to read the Bible and pray for the needs of the church, will you continue to keep that discipline going? If you've enjoyed or been blessed by the discipline of taking some time to pray with your brothers and sisters on the phone, how will you make that a practice to call someone or maybe sit down with them to pray with them for their needs? So let's consider how this may have been a time of blessing for our church, and the elders are thinking about how we can extend some of this into the future as the Lord leads. This morning we have two hymns to share together, Holy, 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 and how deep the Father's love for us. We'll sing Holy, Holy, Holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which word and heart and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 below the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee. Sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
We'll also sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us by Stuart Townend. Verse 1 of this song goes, How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, it says, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. In this verse, we have a description in a succinct way of what we call the propitiation of Christ. Christ is the propitiation for the sins of his people, and he does that by offering himself once for all as a sacrifice for sin. The pain of the searing loss he describes is the pain of not just his physical death, but of the separation from his Father. We shouldn't be confused when it says, how great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away. This is not a sadness on the part of the Father as he turns away from his Son. This is not a moment where the Father reluctantly turns away from his beloved Son. This is rather a moment when the Father turns away from his Son in complete rejection and in wrath and in great rage. The Father in that moment is turning away from the Son as he begins to unroll, or as he's perhaps in the middle of unrolling his judgment, which has been saved up since the beginning of the world, and which he anticipates for the sins of believers even into the future, unto this present day. He unloads his wrath upon his own Son in our place. His Son is taking our place in accepting willingly the great wrath and the judgment of God properly displayed against sin. When it says the Father turns his face away, and when it says how great the pain of searing loss, that is not the Father's pain, that is Christ's pain. The hymn writer in this moment is talking about the rejection that Christ experiences by his Father. and that is complete. And in that moment, he despairs and says, my God, why have you forsaken me? How deep the Father's love for us.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold a man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Pastor Charles Humphrey will be bringing the Word of God to us today. Let's turn our attention to the Scriptures now.